Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The mandates, the virus. This is the Scala Report with Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. Chris travels the nation and the world easily before the pandemic and during the pandemic. And now we're looking at something changing profoundly. Not the virus. It's still with us. Omicron is reported positive. But I go to London, the BBC observing an irony underway in the U.S. White House left behind as states drop COVID rules, writes the BBC. The White House is facing pressure to revise its position on mask wearing as pandemic restrictions are eased in a number of states. The governors of New York, Illinois, and Massachusetts have said they will end certain mask mandates in their states. Earlier this week, New Jersey, Connecticut, Delaware, and Oregon unveiled plans to lift mask rules. Impatient governors have been urging the White House to release guidance for dropping the use of face coverings. But the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention reiterated on Wednesday, within these hours, that it was not yet time to lift U.S. mask requirements. Chris, a very good evening to you. We've got a confusion of authorities here. It was the governors who carried the weight during the first 2 years of the pandemic, 20 and 21. Now the governors, and I note they're all Democrats except for Massachusetts. The Democratic governors, the blue states, the ones who have been most cautious and most critical of businesses reopening, of people traveling, of non-vaccinated citizens, they're lifting mandates while the White House stays in place. Now, maybe it's just the federal government moves slower. Do you measure, the big question, is it over, Chris? Is the mandate regime over? And is America ready to make the best that it can of living with COVID? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I would wager pretty strongly that the governors are watching the statistics very closely. And when I say statistics very closely that they're watching, it's not necessarily the infection rate, but rather their political approval ratings, as well as the inflation rates that we saw published this morning at 7.5%. The governors are being very savvy about understanding now it's time to flip the switch and get on the right side of history, because the mandates are extremely unpopular, as you're seeing across the U.S., Europe, and Canada. And now it's time to say, this is over, let's get back to work. However, what will be fascinating to observe will be to see if the working population, now that the magic wand has come out at the governor level and declared this to be over, will people return to work in a normal fashion, or will you have pushback on returning to work altogether?
You travel in the U.S. Overseas has been more challenging these last 2 years of the pandemic. You've been in and out of airports, in and out of major cities. Heretofore, you've been keen on emphasizing that traveling in the states that do not mandate or have turned away from mandating has been easier and there's been more activity. Do you see a change in the weather out there between the contrast between blue states and red states that heretofore has been true?
The red states as a whole have been 6 to 9 to 12 months ahead of the blue states. I think the blue states are now just catching up to say, this is simply something we're going to have to live with and manage around. What will be curious going forward will be the airlines and the practice there. If New York is a non-mask state and Oregon is a non-mask state, do I have to wear my mask in the airplane? Do I have to wear my mask when I fly over mask states versus non-mask states? It's going to be a mess and it's going to be tricky, and there'll be lots and lots of confusion around it.
And the office is also the open question now. Return to the office. For some time, we've had this debate and we've observed it with all the contradictory statements. Hybrid rules, work from home. In England, for example, Prime Minister Johnson, who has domestic concerns about his own conduct, has said that he's going to plan A and urging people to go to the office, to return to their lives that existed in 2019. Do you see evidence of that in your travels? And is that right now a debate that can be resolved by companies suggesting, look at the governors, they say dropping the masking, dropping challenging of vaccinations, so back to the office?
John, I think you're going to see a lot of resistance from employees and certain employee populations, especially in the dense blue city centers, of coming back to work. People have now been, in many cases, taught to believe, hey, I should have that right to work from home, especially if I'm in San Francisco or Chicago or New York, and there will be most certainly resistance in coming back. That being said, at the business leader level and at the governmental level, I believe it's becoming increasingly apparent across the board that the economy is soft and getting softer. While corporate earnings are still good at the mid and small sectors of business, a lot of those businesses have been crushed and destroyed and negatively impacted by the pandemic. So now it's a point of getting back to work to save the economy. That is the next big fight that's coming.
Yes, and that includes the fact that we're going to see positive rates continue. So the puzzle, living with the virus, I don't know what that means, and no one's defined it. They keep changing the number of days for quarantine or the restrictions. Internationally, and checking into the airlines, it's various depending on what governance you're flying into. So right now, because we don't know what living with the virus is, what does it mean for your employees, for the employees of companies you're dealing with? Are people staying home for a few days and then going back to the office? Is it catch as catch can?
I think everyone has now moved into the ongoing management of the virus phase, which is if you get the virus, stay home for a couple of days, come back when you're clear of it. International travel is still very, very tricky. If you use China as an example, if you decide you have a business reason to go to China, you're expected to quarantine for 5 weeks on arrival in China. So effectively, it's still closed. There are many countries around the world that are still closed, and it's still going to be very, very tricky. Just be something that we'll have to navigate going forward.
I puzzle about China because that's part of the supply chain, the long tail that has contributed, if not the major driver, to the inflation story, which is now rocking the American economy. You have business in China. You have colleagues in China. What is the policy there? Zero COVID describes a many-splendored beast. Is their commerce re-engaging? Is their export model working? Or are they still city-to-city under mandates?
John, it's very concerning in discussions in China in the last several weeks. We're now... travel within China for native Chinese was always limited. You had to have permission from the government to go from city A to city B. There was not freedom of movement. That's been further restricted now, using the virus as the reason to further restrict travel. Native Chinese, unless they're members of the government, are not allowed to travel out of the country. It seems something very bad may be happening in the future, and that very bad thing could be Taiwan. China is rolling up the doors, preventing their people from leaving, preventing outsiders from coming in, and that's not for no reason. So I think things are going to be challenging for sure.
And that shows up in the supply chain, I'm going to presume. It shows up in the ability of customers to receive shipments from China. So back to the U.S., the U.S. model. What has the U.S., in your measure, the U.S. businesses that depend on that supply chain, what have they learned? Is it all a frustration now, or have they gone to new planning, Chris?
They're just as likely to jump back on the China supply chain as ever. You hear the talk of we need to remove factories from China, reshore, and that's coming slowly for specific industries like semiconductor or others. But Americans are addicted to cheap Chinese products. That's always been a challenge in the last 20, 30 years. I don't think we're going to be able to kick that addiction anytime soon. The supply chain woes are starting to ease, but in many cases they're easing because the economies globally are softening and lessening demand. So that ease of the supply chain disruptions is not necessarily a good thing when it signals a potential economic slowdown.
Your headquarters are in Ohio. You do a lot of business in Canada. You have business centers in Canada, Toronto and Montreal. The news from Canada is puzzling about truckers protesting the lengthy number, the lengthy mandates issued by the central government in Ottawa. I've had a report that Ottawa's traffic is frozen with parked trucks. What do you hear from Canada about this protest?
So the protests are very interesting to watch. The extremely polite Canadians are showing their fierce independence, which is a good thing. That being said, now with the interference to the Windsor port and the bridge, investor bridge in Detroit, and starting to hit the supply chain for automotive, they've really amped it up a notch. Mr. Trudeau, unfortunately, is looking quite weak in the face of this opposition, and I think is losing a lot of popularity in Canada. That being said, you see the Albertan prime minister that's lifting mask restrictions and mandates. So Canada is starting to try to break free of the noose of this pandemic, but there's going to be a lot of disruption politically in the next several months around this truckers' protest.
We're in a transition period. It could last weeks. It could last days. Certainly springtime is 5 weeks away, and perhaps that is the magical reopening for North America. Chris Riegel. He is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm with business in Canada, much important business in Canada, transforming the retail space with digital signage. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.